this is Scott Cowles with Fox 17 News, and knowledge is power. And that's why I listen to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
I just appreciate him. I've been knowing Scott since and forever. You know, we used to work together, ex. Don't I say that about everybody?
You do.
Well, you know, when you have children, you have to have jobs, you know. You have to work in order to be able to take care of those little rascals. Anyway, let me say hello to Nashville, all of our wonderful people. And I feel like since we weren't here Sunday because of the holiday and everything on Monday, you know, when you said, let's do this, I was like, okay, I'm cool. I'm cool. Usually I complain. But, I mean, this time I was like, okay, all right.
The show was still good.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. But anyway, we hope that everyone is having a glorious day today on this Wednesday. And, of course, it wouldn't be Wednesday without chances for rain. I don't know how we do it, but every Wednesday we seem to do it. Anyway, we have a switcheroo in the hours on that we've been telling you about on the show. We have... instead of at 4, our leadership series is going to be in the 5 o'clock hour, and this hour's guest is going to be Metro Police Chief Steve Anderson. Chief, how are you?
I am good.
Well, it's been a few weeks or months since you've been here, quite a while. You've been doing okay?
Doing very well.
Busy?
Very well. Always busy. You know, there's a lot going on in Nashville.
Yes, it is.
We try to tend to all of it.
Absolutely it is. And it seems like almost some clips too much.
Well, we're bursting at the seams, no doubt.
No question. Now, before I ask you about some relevant subjects and from some conversations I've had here over the month of August with the community, I want to get a quick thoughts from you and tell us about this new trend I'm seeing with the stealing of the cars and all the violence and the shootings. And what exactly, is there a wave going on here in Nashville?
You know, we've looked at the data. So statistically, we're not that far ahead of where we were in the past in terms of numbers of these incidents. But they are becoming more publicized and very troubling. The troubling aspect of it is the age is going down.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got where in the past, you know, we would have people in their late teens, early 20s.
Yes.
Now we've got, you know, I don't even call them juveniles. They're kids. 11, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one occurred the other night, and they hijacked a car, but couldn't drive a manual transmission. So I sort of understood that.
Yeah.
But then there was one at a later date, kid with a gun, but then he was not tall enough to reach the pedals on the car to drive it off. So that's very, very troubling. So we're doing all we can to intercept these kids, get them the help they need, get them back on the right path, because, again, they're just kids.
So there's not a single thought in the process, obviously. You know, but still, I can't reach it.
That's true.
I mean, there's something disconnected big time in that scenario. What are parents saying when you have to call them and tell them about their kids?
You know, it's you got two categories. When you have a parent that steps in and takes charge, and I find that we probably don't see that kid again in most cases. But in cases where the parent is making excuses for the kid, or in a good many cases, there is no parent. That's where these are our kids. These are Nashville's kids. So it's all of us' responsibility to step in.
Is this boys, girls, or just boys?
Mostly boys, but there is that trend. We are seeing girls involved now where we didn't in the past.
Age group?
Early teens. You know, some of them 11 or 12 years old.
Wow. I had this quick conversation in a break one time on the show maybe about a month or so ago, that this person was saying, you know, don't ride with your windows down. It's changed that much in Nashville.
Well, I think that all of us should be aware of our surroundings and be cautious. And that's anywhere you go, whether it's here in Nashville, whether it's one of the surrounding counties, or, you know, anywhere you go.
Well, I've never felt like that here before. I mean, you know, I've lived here 32 years, and it is, by far, Nashville has changed dramatically.
Well, it has. You know, we're still one of the safest cities in the United States. But
really?
These things do happen.
It doesn't seem like it.
Well,
it doesn't feel like it, okay? And a lot of the town people have that discussion where somebody new coming in from a different environment, they may not recognize it.
Yeah, I've got some graphs here that I'll give you before I leave.
Okay.
But in 1997, we experienced reported us. Now, keep in mind, all we know about is what's reported us.
Yes.
There's many things that don't get reported to us.
Yes.
But we had almost 60,000 what's called Part 1 crimes. Those are defined by the FBI as through murders, robberies, sex crimes, all the way down to larcenies. And we got that number down to about 31,000 over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're seeing it go up. But when you compare that against the population, in 1997, we only had about 552,000 people.
Wow.
Now we've got about 680,000 people.
Okay.
So it's remaining relatively stable when you take into account the rise in population.
Yeah. Well, maybe the rapid speed in which the news is reported now, you know, that may have some, because, you know.
Well, it is.
It seems, you know, like three or four shootings every morning when you wake up is a bit much.
Yeah, the media is out there. They are reporting, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It keeps everybody aware. And then you have the social media. So that's where a good many people get their news and awareness.
Well, I don't. I go to Old Faithful. I turn on my local friends. 2, 4, and 5 are where I spend most of my time.
Well, if you got 17.
Well, I tune them in after I've gotten. I get those three first, and then I go over to 17.
All right.
Because I just, you know, old habits die hard.
Yeah.
Now, Chief, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but during the month of August, I donated or had an unprecedented 9 hours of discussion on this show on Wednesday afternoons and Sundays on the discussion of policing and law enforcement and, of course, the second recent police-involved shooting in our city. And the community came, different organizations, groups, members of the faith community, retired law enforcement. I've had just about every single group that's working in the community up here. Maybe I missed some, but I mean, it's not because I didn't try, including elected officials. And we just discussed issues as they are and as they were. And the mayor was the first person here, by the way. He was here after around the time that the tape came out involving Daniel Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
I think that same afternoon the tape was out. He was scheduled to be here anyway, as it turned out. But I could tell from that point, from just dealing with the community and having the discussions with them and knowing them the way I do, this was not a one-shot conversation or discussion. Some stuff in Nashville, the community has been saying now for quite some time. And I don't know about in your role, but I know about in my role, I hear them. Partly that's my job, but because I work with people in the community, I hear things. And, you know, there seems to be a point at which 2 and 2 is 4, and the concerns are there, and they feel like some things are falling on deaf ears. And including we had Miss Vicki Hamburg here. We had her attorney on, and we had, you know, just a plethora of people that had something they wanted to say, the NOAA group, members of the NOAA, et cetera. And the 9 hours of conversations are on my podcast, SharonCase401.com. Go there, and you can click on it and hear them and hear the community speak. And in all these conversations, one of the things that came to everybody's conclusion is that you have not apologized to Mrs. Hamburg. And she asks specifically on here and probably in other mediums that you do that about her son Daniel that was in the police-involved shooting back in July. How come you haven't done it?
Well, keep in mind, this is an ongoing investigation, and I'm assuming there'll be civil litigation, and so it's very difficult to me to offer any explanations at this point or even apologies. Certainly my condolences go to her. She's a mother, and she's lost a son, and she's as important as any other mother in the land. So certainly I've expressed my condolences, but when we get down to specifics of the incident, it's not being investigated by us. It's investigated by the TBI.
Is that something a lawyer has said to you, or you just, is that protocol?
That's my experience as a police officer, and knowing what is likely to unfold down the road. So I have to be very cautious about what I say.
And is that why you have been selective in some of your comments on things?
Well, certainly. I know that everything that I say, some taken out of context, mm-hmm. will come up in the future. So I have to be very, very careful about the thoughts I express. I have my personal views, but mm-hmm. I also have my professional views.
Yeah.
And so I represent the police department and the government. So I have to be very guarded.
And since you are a representative of the police department, do you feel that there's adequate training for the officers that are on the streets in Nashville?
I do. We have one of the best training staffs in the nation. And we offer, it's mandatory. Our officers attend more than 20 weeks of initial training.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's ongoing in-service training, plus all the other specialized training. So to answer your question, no police officer anywhere gets enough training. I mean, if we did, we would be training all the time as opposed to actually be on the street doing what needs to be done. Now, a good bit of the training comes from experience, so you mix in your experience with your training.
Mm-hmm. Now, does the training that you all offer, we're dealing with pulling back layers of, you know, biases and et cetera. What kinds of, I think one of the discussions and the things I've read about this, some of the trainings, is you're using old, dated materials and not things that are relevant to right now.
But again, our training staff, we send them to various places. We mm-hmm. spend a lot of money making sure that they're trained properly, making sure that all the latest techniques and all the latest social skills are employed.
Who checks them?
Who checks them?
Yeah.
Well, our command staff, we're constantly looking at what they do. We have a captain in charge. And
is he looking at some standard you know, that's, you know, accepted across the board, or?
We're trying to do more than any other police department in the nation. We attend professional organizations like PERF, the Police Executive Research Forum. We attend their training sessions. We attend training sessions of the Major City Chiefs Association. So anything that's available, we send our people to.
And have you done anything extra since we've had the second incident in Nashville?
Well, one of the things that I have done is ask our training staff to review our foot pursuit policy. Now, I did that in terms of I want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep our officers safe. But other than that, we're constantly evolving. So to answer your question is yes, but we would be doing that no matter what the circumstances were at any given time.
So what's changed about the foot pursuit?
Well, we've not changed anything yet. I'm asking them to gather information from across the nation, other police departments, what they're doing to see if we can learn anything.
What's time frame did you give them to, you know, because sometimes you can, you know, I've noticed on the show and people in governmental roles, you know, we've funded a study, but it might be 4 years before we get the results. So what?
But I've not given them a time frame, but it won't be 4 years.
Okay.
It'll be sometime in the next couple of months.
Okay, so you'll come back and let the community, or you'll let the
sure.
city know what's going on with
keep them. In mind, our policies are open to the public. We would like as much as possible for people to come into our training academy and talk to the instructors and see what goes on.
Is that something that could be ascertained from your Metro PD website or something like that? We could just look and see what it is.
Well, our website has a lot of information on it, but mostly you have to view that firsthand. One of the things you can do is our Citizens Police Academy. We're constantly having a Citizens Police Academy. It's 11 weeks, one night per week. And so our training staff comes in, all of our specialized divisions come in and talk about what they do and educate the people that are willing to sit there for those many nights.
Now, I know you all have been participating in the last year or two in the mobile diversity with the Metro Human Relations Commission.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that still going on?
Sure. Completed a session probably about a month ago. We do that for every class that goes through our recruit academy, and we generally have two or three classes a year.
Are you looking at the pre and post information that the recruits, you know, they're surveyed? Are you looking at their comments?
Oh, yes, yes. We get feedback from them. We get feedback from the staff.
You yourself review the comments?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to just ask you something else about that on the other side.
Okay.
I believe that Commander Chuck is... Now, Commander Chuck, I heard you earlier, and it sounds to me like there were a lot of trouble spots on the roads, like you said, the Jefferson Street Bridge, or did I hear you say I-24 or something like that?
Was that me?
Well, you know, you're always, it's the same stuff I hear all the time. It's like Nashville, all these, there's these chunks of property in the city where people just have these jam-ups every day.
Of course.
And was I close to right?
You're right. A car flipped, believe it or not, earlier. Talk about wrong place, wrong time. Now, this happened over an hour ago on 40 East, right at Briley. That's right near the airport. And they finally got it up on its wheels, but traffic just seems like it just never recovered there. And it's still running slow, especially as you approach Briley there on 40 East coming off that south loop. Now I'm looking at a crash where they hurried and moved everybody over to the side, but it's just crawling here on 24 Eastbound at Briley Parkway. As you head south of town out towards Murfreesboro. We're dodging some rain showers out here. I'm not sure if that's the rain that's coming up from Tropical Storm Gordon that's affecting Birmingham and even headed towards parts of Memphis. You just may see some really heavy downpours out here this afternoon and rush hour traffic, so please give yourself extra time. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. Renowned researcher, educator, author, and presenter, Dr. Joy DeGruy is this year's guest speaker at the 2018 W.E.B. Du Bois Lecture Series on Tuesday, September 25th, presented annually by WFSK and the Alkiva Law Images Bookstore. The Du Bois Lecture Series begins at 7 p.m. and will be held in the Appleton Rome Jubilee Hall on the Fisk University campus. Doors open at 6 p.m. Dr. Joy DeGruy is the acclaimed author of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, America's Legacy of Enduring Injury and Healing. Tickets for the Du Bois Lecture featuring Dr. Joy DeGruy on Tuesday, September 25th at 7 are $20 in advance, $25 at the door, $15 for students.
For more information, contact our office at 615-329-8754 or the Akiva Lime Images Bookstore at 615-321-4111.
Support for WFSK comes from Mount Zion Baptist Church, presenting S2R, a September to remember, September 5th through the 9th, for the family and community. 5 days packed with outreach activities, a 5K walk run, a church picnic, and nightly worship services. Guest speakers are Bishops Paul S. Morton and T.D. Jakes. Musical guests are Shirley Caesar and Miranda Curtis. For the complete schedule of events for S2R, a September to remember, visit MountZionNashville.org.
Hey, everybody, Bobby Jones here, reminding you to check out the hottest gospel countdown in the country. Not only will I be counting them down, the top 20 gospel songs of the week, but I'll also bring you some brand new music from Tamla Man and the Walls Group. I'll also take you back into time with my gospel flashback and put the spotlight on Dorothy Norwood. You don't want to miss it. The Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, the number one gospel countdown in the country. And you can catch my gospel show, the Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, every Sunday from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from United Security Financial Corporation. The Nashville Regional Office is hosting a grand opening celebration at their offices, 1900 Church Street, Suite 210, on Thursday, September 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. Special guest for the grand opening celebration is Jeffrey Hicks, president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. At the celebration, you can also learn about home ownership programs. To RSVP for the United Security Financial Corporation grand opening on September 6th, call 615-933-5550. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by our latest sponsor, Integrity Dental Care. Integrity is located in the Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C at 397 Wallace Road. If you are interested in an appointment or visiting their website, please go to IntegrityDentalCares.com. That's IntegrityDentalCares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And let me remind you that What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Mount Zion Baptist Church, United Financial Security Corporation. And we welcome aboard to the show our newest sponsor, that is Integrity Dental Care, Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This hour, Metro Police Chief Steve Anderson is back on the show. It has been since earlier this year when he was on, and he's no stranger to the broadcast, and neither is anybody else in any position of power and authority in Nashville, because I'm going to ask them. And then if they come, we'll discuss it, and if they don't, I'll have to tell you. Having said that, we were in discussions about policing in Nashville and the training that some of the community members have been concerned about that may be archaic and may need to be updated. And I was asking the chief about the diversity, the mobile diversity training. Is that in addition to what you all do year-round? Because hardly anybody knows about it.
Yes, we've done that for, I don't know, the past five or six recruit classes that we have had.
Okay.
And we started out small, and it's grown, and it's very educational, very informative. And I always make a point to visit at the end of the day. I try try to make it over there for the morning breakfast, and then go back at the end of the day. And one of my messages to the recruits is this is a day to keep in your mind the rest of your career, because we all live somewhat sheltered lives. Mm-hmm. And this gives us an opportunity to go all over Nashville to see all sorts of things that we may not have been exposed to in our earlier life. So it's very important to keep that in the back of your head anytime you're answering a call, anytime you're interacting with the public.
How would your department, because I've read some of the pre and post comments, because we, as our community service project, we participate, as you know, you come up here for an hour or two on the campus for a portion of the training. When you see comments that recruits are saying, this is a waste of time, why am I doing this? Is that a flag to you that you picked the right or wrong person?
Well, it is, and I think there was one particular session we had that maybe become more confrontational than it was educational. And I think that everyone realized that the facilitators, our training staff, and we've made an effort to make it more educational as opposed to confrontational. And I think when any time you put somebody in a confrontational situation, you're likely to get feedback of that nature. So I think we learned from that.
Well, and that same thing would happen with the general public, wouldn't it? Well, if you put them in a confrontational,
that's the point of those sessions like that, to let all of our recruits know, let all of our people know that we're going to be dealing with people that may be not like us, people that we've not been exposed to in the past,
sure.
Traditions, cultures, and to be tolerant of everyone.
Well, hopefully that they'll have something else. Maybe every couple of months, because this is a lifetime of work to get rid of layers.
Well, certainly it is. Certainly it is. And I think that our officers on the street experience that every day. What we're trying to do at the recruit level is give the recruits a 10 years worth of experience in that one day.
Now, Chief, some of the groups in the community have been calling for you. Your head. They want you gone. And several have mentioned it on my tape shows that they would feel that would be the best, most effective thing for Nashville's policing. How do you feel about that?
Well, I've got a job to do. I'm going to continue to do that job.
And is that the first time you've heard such an upheaval from the community about your work?
There's when you're the chief of police in any, especially any major city, there's always someone calling for your resignation. People, you know, as chief of police, you have to balance three things every day. You have the public, and you need to satisfy as much as possible the public, give them all the service that we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
The administration, the mayor and the council. You need to make sure you've done everything that you can to do everything they want to do. And then you have the troops. You have the officers that you try to give them everything that they want. Now, obviously, there's conflict there,
yeah.
So I've got to balance that. So I've had calls for resignation from all three groups. That's just part of being the chief of police.
Now, it just seems as though... We watch the news and et cetera, and we see chiefs in other cities that, you know, at least not in the early days of these police-involved shootings, but of recent, who have publicly apologized. Have you done that?
Well, again, I've offered my condolences, and I sincerely mean that. When we get down, an apology means that we've done something wrong. I don't know that at this point. At some point, I will know.
So offering your condolences is not the same thing as I'm sorry.
I'm very, very sorry. That's my condolences. I'm very, very sorry that this happened.
Have you talked to Mrs. Ham?
I have not. I know the pain that it's caused, and I'm very, very sorry for that.
What's keeping you from talking to her?
Well, again, I've got to look to the future. First of all, I don't know everything that occurred, so mm-hmm. I've got to wait till the final investigation is done before I can speak with any intelligence on the matter. And then, too, I've got to be concerned about what the future, whether it's a criminal court case or whether it's a civil case.
And where is it now?
Well, right now the TBI is investigating, and I've not seen the report, so I'm assuming that at some point, hopefully in the very near future, they'll be completed and turn it over to the district attorney.
Does the TBI at that point, I'm not totally 100% clear on it, when they are doing the investigation of your department and they're leading the investigation, do they share any information with
Very little, very little.
Okay. So you don't know until it's released?
I do not. And to keep in mind, the investigation is actually, the district attorney calls the TBI in. So the TBI reports to the district attorney. Mm-hmm. So at some point I will be privy to it, but not at this point.
Now, from what I understand from interviewing the mayor, when the video from the MLK High School was released, that I think the mayor, you and the mayor watched it around the same time?
We did. Watched
okay.
it together.
Was he prepped? Did he know what was coming? Did you inform him?
Well, General Funk contacted him and brought the video for both of us to see. So I'm not aware of what the mayor knew before we sat down to look at it.
Okay, because he said he wasn't.
And I assume that to be correct.
Okay.
I think that he and I saw the video at the same time.
And what was what kind of discussion? I mean, what do you say?
Well, as I said before, it's very, very disturbing. Anytime you watch someone lose their life,
sure.
It's very serious, very disturbing. I think that's that seemed to be the thought in everyone at the table. I know it certainly was mine.
Have you or anyone in the department been in contact with that neighborhood since? Because, you know, that rattled. That was right outside the people's door. You know, that rattled a lot of people. A lot.
We have people in that neighborhood on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
We have neighborhood groups. We have officers that patrol that area. So the answer is yes.
Now, someone brought this up on the show, and I wondered about it as well. As I watched the video, there was a lot of traffic going by.
Yes.
Is that standard procedure to pull out a gun and shoot and cars are whizzing by? I'm like, because that was frightening to see that.
Well, all that would be taken in consideration after the criminal investigation by the TBI. Then we will look at it from the standpoint of an administrative investigation. Were all our policies and procedures following? Was anyone's was lives endangered unnecessarily?
Well, I would think, to me, if I had been driving by and I saw my car in a replay, and I would have been terrified to know that bullet could have ricocheted or any number of things could have happened. And our policy at the police department has not ever covered this area?
Well, certainly. Our policy definitely covers it. And we do not, unless it's extreme circumstances, we do not shoot in any manner that endangers unnecessary people.
Well, what happened this time?
Well, again, we have to look at it. I've not investigated at this point, so I've not looked at it from that standpoint. At some point, I will be able to do that.
So the timing of this, did you have any investigative time at all before it went to the TBI
no,
for the full
no,
investigation?
No, we do not do that.
Okay, at all?
No.
Okay. Now, something also came up in the interviews or the discussions about, and Don, you might be able to help me on this, there was a photo tweeted with a gun. Can you pull his mic up, X? We want to get your comments. Because I think isn't it from your Twitter account?
From the police department's Twitter account,
okay.
Yes.
And the person had mentioned that they felt like it was a photo, either a stock shot or something that you had used prior, and it was not it connected at all to the case. Is that the facts or not?
No, the photograph was taken the night of the police shooting.
Okay.
In fact, within 30 minutes of it occurring. And the reason it was taken and the reason it was put on Twitter is because there is a propensity by some to immediately react to say that the police department shot an unarmed man. There was no gun involved.
Right.
When the facts of the matter were there was a gun there that was being carried by the individual. So the photograph was taken and was tweeted out. And since it was tweeted out. It has been photoshopped by an unknown individual and put on Facebook with a date of 2010. I can show you in a moment the date and timestamp on the photograph that I still have.
Okay.
That shows when it was taken and the date it was taken.
So that unscrupulous act is what caused the community to think that you had tweeted out a rehashed shot of a prior murder?
The photograph of the gun taken on the night of the police shooting was taken from our Twitter account and was photoshopped by someone and reposted on social media with a date reflecting years ago.
Is that something that you all would investigate?
Well, it's not against the law to take a photo and Photoshop it.
Well, it's not.
Under most circumstances.
Right. But this is different. You know, that's almost like inciting an incident.
Well, it is. But again, getting bogged down in a criminal investigation when there may not even be a criminal event is not useful.
Okay. So when that comes up in the public, you just, because I don't know, you may have given your story. I haven't heard it or seen it. But it doesn't mean that it didn't take place. How are you addressing that? Just like
you are the first person in the mainstream media to ask me about that.
Okay.
Officially. There have been other folks who have said, hey, this photograph has appeared. What happened? And my response to them in the mainstream media, this was photoshopped. Someone took the picture from the night of the police shooting, changed the date, and reposted it.
Wow.
And when the mainstream media found out about that, they let it go and didn't do a story with it.
Okay. Well, to me, that's something that people need to consider. When Twitter has become our new national news and the holy grail of information, I mean, that is certainly something that I don't know if Twitter is the best source anymore. You know, I mean, because if it's that easy to fabricate on every level, then it doesn't sound to me like it's going to be accurate. Knowing that that's the case, Don, and I know that you have decades of experience, would you have done that in hindsight, or would you have used another route disseminate that information?
I think it's very important for the community to know immediately that there was a gun involved.
Yes.
That's all we're saying, that there was a gun involved being carried by the other person. And the facts of how everything transpired from there will be all sorted out. But for someone to say that the man was unarmed was not true. And then for someone to Photoshop the gun and say this picture was taken 8 years ago, that's certainly not true.
Yeah, that just made it worse. Well, and you know, to some people, it was like another stereotype. You know, black dude, hood, gun, case closed. I mean, that's exactly how it has felt to the community of color. Guilt, guilt, and guilt. So I'm glad you cleared that up, because I have been wanting to ask you, but I said, no, wait till he comes on the show.
But Sharon, also, the police department's memorandum of understanding with the TBI says that we can't do the internal investigation without the TBI's permission.
Okay.
The TBI says we can't do our investigation until they're done, so we don't interfere with them.
Okay. So you have to wait until those results. And that could be how much longer?
Well, we don't know. I mean, hopefully it'll be in the next few weeks, but we don't know.
Okay. X, I know you got a question.
I do.
Hold.
Yeah.
Go to break.
Okay.
Because I know that you're going to preach.
No, I just have a question. Yes.
I know. Right. Let's go to break first. Let's handle the business. My guest this hour is Metro Nashville Police Chief Steve Anderson. And many of you know Steve Anderson, our chief of police, has been on the show several times before in the past. And we're glad he found time in his busy schedule to come back and see us on the show. If you have a question or comment, we have a few minutes. X is going to ask his question, but if you want to say something brief, then our number is 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
Here's a community reminder from listener-supported Jazzy 88.
If you're planning on being a volunteer at this year's WFSK 48-hour radiothon, October 5th through 7th, please contact our office by phone at 615-329-8754 or send us an email at info@fisk.edu. It's our 12th annual around-the-clock big event, and it always brings strong community support, good vibes, laughs, fun, fellowship, food, and of course, we're raising donations to support the operation of nonprofit WFSK. To find out more, contact our office at 615-329-8754.
Support for WFSK comes from United Security Financial Corporation. The Nashville Regional Office is hosting a grand opening celebration at their offices, 1900 Church Street, Suite 210, on Thursday, September 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. Special guest for the grand opening celebration is Jeffrey Hicks, president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. At the celebration, you can also learn about home ownership programs. To RSVP for the United Security Financial Corporation grand opening on September 6th. Call 615-933-5550.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City, what do some artists think about dirty lyrics in music?
I think if you have to be so graphic and so downright dirty with it.
That's Lacey, and she tells us what she thinks, and man, does she tell us. Tony Green and James Cotton had the stage on top of our 5 Minute Mini Blues Concert Live. Join me, Arjun Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this weekend, right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for Jazzy 88 WFSK comes from National Shows 2, presenting An Evening with Gladys Knight, live in concert at the Ryman, Saturday, May 11th, 2019. Tickets on sale now at the Ryman box office and Ticketmaster.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. Commander Chuck will be back with us here shortly to give us an updated traffic report. Get you home with some smooth sailing, hopefully, this afternoon. In the studio with me today is Metro Nashville Police Chief Steve Anderson. And following the 9 hours of community discussion we've had on the show during the month of August involving police-involved incidents and social justice issues here in Nashville, it was just time for the chief to be the next one in to be in the conversations. We recorded all of them, and they're available on my new podcast. You can go to my website, SharonKay's411.com. You can hear all the conversations. The community has had plenty to say, and we're grateful for their calling in. Now, X, before you respond, let me quickly get the caller, and then I'll go straight to you. Is this Sunny? Hello?
Yes. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. How about yourself?
I'm fine. I just like to say, I understand that, you know, there are bad cops in the police department. I understand that, and I get it. And a lot of times, you know, they do things that, you know, are not becoming an officer who has been sworn to protect and serve. But I do think that, for the most part, the police department is getting a bad rap from the public because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, actually, really, you don't really need the police department until you get into a situation where you have to call 911. So I don't agree with crucifying the police department for the actions of a few. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm, don't get me wrong. I understand that, you know, police officers do bad things. You know, they don't give, you know, these youth a chance to, you know, defend themselves. And a lot of times they don't have weapons on them and they get trigger happy. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. But that's only a few. And overall, the police department is actually really doing a good job because, you know, they've actually decreased a lot of crime that was in Nashville, that was in areas where crime was running rampant, you know, and they've been very present in these neighborhoods, you know, where crime has been running rampant, and they, for the most part, a lot of times they run the crime out of these neighborhoods, okay? So, I just wanted to say that. You know, and I'm chief of police. I'm glad that you know, you're on the show and that you do show some concern for the community. But I just want to say that you do get a bad rap from the community on the whole for the mistakes of a few.
Thank you, Sonny. Okay, Chief.
Well, I think that you know, my response, and thank you for those comments. You know, I say too often that I've worked for three or four different police departments during my time here, and so we have evolved. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I talked about earlier is some of the rank and file aren't happy with me because we do look at misconduct, mm-hmm. and we terminate people, we take corrective actions, suspensions, and so forth. There's when you have 2,000 employees, there's always going to be someone that does something wrong, and we try to deal with that as it goes. But that's part of the balancing act that I do every day is trying to keep everybody happy from all three areas that I'm responsible to.
Okay. That's what we're going to say.
Yeah, I concur. I believe, you know, first and foremost, you know, one of our good friends, former coworkers, you know, left radio and went to the police department. I was at his graduation, and just you all do a tremendous job. Where I had a problem in particular, after listening to everything that's been said here with this particular situation, just this one, was after the video was released. We had just gotten off the air that Wednesday, and I'm not sure which part of the police department it was or if it was the police unions, but the spokesperson came out and said that we should not rush to conclusion or jump to conclusions about what had taken place, but then at the same time decided to say that Mr. Hambrick was a criminal, that he had a criminal record and things of this nature. And so in looking at that, I've got to say that didn't make me feel too well, that on the left is being asked of us to have an open mind and wait till all the evidence is being, an investigation is completed. Mm-hmm. But then on the right, denigrate the reputation of the young man and put his criminal record out there and paint him in a light that is unbecoming. And those are the things that those are the things that anger us as a community.
Well, and that was some of the comments that the community said as well. So would you respond to that, too?
Well, keep in mind, I have not said anything at all about Mr. Hamrick's record.
Okay.
That has come up. We've got questions from the media and so forth. Now, keep in mind that there's a union that represents the employees, and they don't speak on behalf of the police department. They speak on behalf of themselves.
That's the FOP?
The FOP, yes. So I understand their comments, and they certainly have a right to make them, but we got to separate the union from the police department. And so I speak for the police department. We have many
others.
It's
hard to do when they're named the Fraternal Order of Police.
Well it
is. It's really hard to do.
But it's a separate organization, and they have a right to say what they want to say. Sometimes I disagree with them. Most often, they're the people calling on me to resign because I do disagree with them on many things.
They haven't called on you to resign for this.
Not for this, but for other things, yes.
Okay. Now, I want to get to the subject that we spent a lot of hours on, and that was the body cameras. And I do believe, I think it was in 2017 when one of the shows you did over here on the body cameras, and you were giving us the update, etc. And here we are a year later, and we still, and millions of dollars later, and we still don't have but more than three or four on the streets.
So I've been accused of slow walking this, of not wanting them and so forth. Mm-hmm. None of that is the case. Now, I'll tell you, I wasn't the one that put it on the table. Mm-hmm. Because I know the expense is going to be to Nashville. It's mm-hmm. going to be millions and millions of dollars. There's a thing called the downstream effect. Now, when we start videoing, and our officers are wearing video cameras all mm-hmm. day, then it's going to impact the district attorney's office. Mm-hmm. He tells me, General Funk tells me, he needs 40-something people just to make sure that he can look at all of them before before trial to educate the assistant district attorneys.
He needs 40 staff?
Yes, yes.
40 more?
40 more.
Is that in the million, the $50 million budget?
No, it is not. It is not. So we have followed the purchasing protocols. Now, keep in mind, if this was a private company, if mm-hmm. I was president of a private company and I was given $15 million mm-hmm. to buy cameras, I could call the people in and probably within a month decide which is the best system to use and let's buy it. But this is the government. There's a bid process. There's proposals that have to be presented. So this is a long process. And so there's nothing that the police department can do to hurry it along. Currently,
where people we are, say you're foot dragging.
No, it's not me. It's not me. It's the purchasing protocol. So we have to have a bid process go out. We have to have a committee. We get to participate on that committee. We have two members on the committee, but there's a committee that evaluates. We are down now to the point where that it's been narrowed down to three vendors, mm-hmm. three different companies. So the middle of next month, they can present their proposals. This is the schedule, not by the police department, but the Department of Purchasing. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, I'm not blaming the Department of Purchasing. That's what they do. And so they have to follow all the law.
Well, how long has it been?
We've been in this about a year now.
A year?
Yeah.
It takes Metro a year to buy something.
Well, something this complicated, yes.
But it doesn't take long to buy a soccer stadium. I mean, apparently, we have our priorities a little twisted in Nashville. Because that whizzed right through there.
Well, I think the approval for it, just like the cameras, went through last night. Now we go through the process of who's actually going to build it. And so there'll be requests for proposals, and there'll be evaluation committees, and so forth.
Have you already purchased enough to even do one whole portion, like North Precinct or downtown?
Because the contract has not been awarded, so I'm not free to purchase what we need. What we have done, in order to get up to speed as much as we possibly could, we purchased about 20, they're inexpensive cameras, I'll put them there. They work mm-hmm. very well, but they were cameras we knew that these people wouldn't be bidding. So we didn't want to do anything to interfere with the bid process. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, if you're a vendor and you put in a bid and you don't think it's fair, you get to file an appeal, mm-hmm. and that delays the process more. So we have about 20, we call it research and development, just to get used to them so that our officers are getting used to them, mm-hmm. we're learning from them, and so that our IT people, our computer people, are learning about storing the data, about sorting the data, and so forth. So we're doing that separately off the side as a project, just as a learning project, so that when we do get the cameras in our hand, we'll be as educated as much as possible.
So I think just recently you were... or someone from the department was saying something about 2019 would be the target date.
Yes.
Would body cameras make a difference in a situation like what happened in July?
It may or may not. You might get a more clear view, and you might not. The body cameras aren't a panacea. Now, keep in mind, they're worn at chest level for the most part. You've got anytime you've got movement, people running, you're going to get a distorted picture. Mm-hmm. But as to what actually occurred, would it make a difference? I've got no way of knowing that. Would we have a more clear view of what occurred? That's could very well be.
At what point? So the video, what's the chain of custody for the video? Is it stays just with you? Like a situation like this one where the TBI gets the investigation, do they immediately get the video?
Yes, we would turn the video over to them. Yes.
Okay. So would you have time to edit?
Well, keep in mind, the answer to that would be no.
Okay.
No.
Well, I mean, those are the things that people just sit at home and want to know. Because, and when you are in an atmosphere where you're not sure
who to trust.
Yeah, again, keep it. That question sort of caught me by surprise because I can't imagine even trying to edit it, what it would accomplish.
Well, I know, but America has a past and history. And if it didn't have such stinking history, maybe I wouldn't have thought that. But I think that that does cross people's mind.
Well, certainly, I would not have the expertise to edit it, and I would have to call on somebody else. And anytime you do that,
you're opening up the
floodgates. Nobody can keep a secret.
No, they can't.
Yeah.
No, they absolutely cannot.
So the answer to your question is
it
no.
wouldn't be worth
no,
it.
No.
And when the TBI, how do, since I don't work there, I don't know, how does this go? They do a separate meeting with you and the mayor, or you, when they have their findings, or they're close to it. What happens?
No, no. The investigation. You know, if you read the law concerning the TBI, the district attorney has the authority under statute, state law, to call them in to assist in the investigation, and that's what the district attorney has done. So their findings will be turned over to the district attorney. At some point, myself, the mayor, you, everybody will be privy to that. But at this point, no, the findings will go directly to the district attorney.
Okay. And then you'll be in the discussion or?
You know, I may or may not be. Keep in mind, the district attorney is going to be making a separate decision. And my input will not be needed for that. The district attorney will sit down with his own staff and make a decision. But at some point, yes, we will be privy to the information from the investigation.
Where is the officer? Is it Delkey or Delk?
Delkey.
Where is he now?
He's on a desk job, so we've got him inside, and he's not on the street.
Where's the officer that shot Jacquees Clements?
He's also on a desk job. He's not on the street.
Okay. Will they ever be back on the street?
That I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Because I think that was a concern for the community as well.
And I certainly understand that.
Yeah. Steve Anderson has been my guest, and he is Metro Nashville's chief of police. And this will be hour number 10 of the discussions with the community on community policing, etc. Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago about a community policing or something to that effect, that you all have a citizens patrol or something like that?
Well, we have a citizens police academy. So the average citizen can come sit with us. It's 11 nights. One night a week for 11 weeks, and we bring in most everybody, most every section of the police department to talk about everything we do, whether it's training, whether it's the helicopters, whether it's the canines, our patrol division, our community coordinators, our investigators, and they get a firsthand. Oh, and they get to ride along with the police officer.
Okay.
And so we try to give them in those 11 nights as much as possible, tour the crime lab, all of that, so that they know what we do, why we do it, and how we do it.
Yeah, because I think I did one of those when I worked at Channel 4, and I was like, it's a different world out here when you're in a, you know, riding and watching what goes on. You know, it's a totally different world.
Certainly, we would like to have you in our next session.
Well, I might, you know, make sure I got my insurance paid. No, I'm just kidding.
The pay's not too good, but the benefits are good.
Well, that's okay. I'll take it. I want the experience so I can come back and talk about it. So, yeah, that might be something. Because that was at least 20-some years ago the last time I did it. So that might be my Sharon Kay's new adventure. Anyway, Chief, thank you so much. And I'll be back in touch with you.
All right.
You know, you're always welcome to come over here anytime and engage in discussion with me. And Don, it's always good to see you. I've known you for many, many years. I think I worked,
decades.
I worked with you in the Channel 4 newsroom when I was riding in that experiment mobile with the news people. Like, I think you're going to want to do this. And I was like, well, okay, I'm green. I'm new. I didn't know. I was scared to death when I got back. I really was. But it's good to see you. And thank you for being here with the chief today.
Always great to be with you, Sharon.
Okay, thank you. Now we have our news coming up next. And on the other side, we're going to get some information from Education Commissioner Candace McQueen about some new statistical data on Tennessee. And then we're going to have our 401 Show Leadership Series with Ms. Sheila A. Hudson. She is the principal in charge and CEO of the St. Louis-based Hudson and Associates.